You're listening to Marketplace Weekend.
Like 2 months ago, we got power for 2 or 3 days, and then we bought inventory, we started, and then we lost power again.
Sin luz, sin agua, sin teléfono.
Yeah, because the air conditioner, I mean, and you want to watch TV. I mean, once I go home later, there's nothing but heat and mosquitoes.
Everyone, and I mean everyone I spoke with in Puerto Rico has something to say about power, or rather the lack thereof. When Hurricane Maria hit, it wiped out electricity across the island. More than 2 months later, many people in places still don't have it. And if it is on, it's not reliable.
And so I actually got to the airport and the power was out.
The airport, somewhere power had actually been restored, but then the grid went down.
So, of course, I was set.
Because this guy, it's his role to restore power to the island.
I'm Colonel John Lloyd.
He's normally the Pittsburgh District Commander for the Army Corps of Engineers, but here in Puerto Rico,
I serve as the Task Force Power Restoration Commander.
That means bringing in 62,000 poles and 6,500 miles of electrical wire.
That's from New York to almost Russia, then millions of other components to the system.
Early one morning, I stopped by the Army Corps of Engineers Command Center based at PREPA, the embattled Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority in San Juan. About 20 people sat around the room, typing and speaking quietly. Some were wearing bright red jackets with the Army Corps insignia on the back. Others were in military fatigues. Almost every wall was covered with reminders of how many days since Hurricanes Irma and Maria, handwritten thank you letters from children, and maps, like this giant one of the island showing where the power line should be.
So it's broken down by transmission lines in yellow here, and that's 230 kV lines.
I started by asking Colonel Lloyd what Puerto Rico's power grid was like even before Maria.
The infrastructure was unstable before Irma and Maria. So you had a very unstable grid, a lot of power outages before the storm. And now you have a Cat 5 hurricane that comes through and rips through the island and causes extreme damage on the transmission lines.
And for people who are new to thinking about this, transmission lines are what moves the power from the plant to...
From the plant, those transmission lines carry power, and then it goes to substations along the way and continues to step it down until it's brought to your house. You see most of the transmission lines were damaged. There's two lines coming out of the south to the north that we're still working on right now. But once those lines are completed, we think we'll have a good transmission loop and have some stabilization.
When someone is out doing that, who is physically doing that work? Where are those engineers coming from? Where are those linemen coming from? Sure. Obviously, the whitefish issue has been a big one in the headlines, but like, who's the manpower?
So for the Corps of Engineers, so we were given specifically the mission from FEMA, and we serve as FEMA's lead engineer. We were then given the mission at the end of September, a mission assignment to kind of lead the planning and design. We have our own contractors that work for us, and we coordinate this very closely with PREPA.
My understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that you all are handling, what, about 70% of it, and PREPA's got about 30? Is that the right figure?
Yeah, I think that's initially what we kind of saw. 70-30, I think, was a good estimate. It may be more 60-40 now, and it kind of changes as we get more boots on the ground.
As you mentioned, this is an island. Where is all of this stuff coming from? And have you been impacted by the Jones Act?
So let me answer your first question. So most of the equipment is being manufactured in the United States. So poles, wire, conductors, insulators, you name it, whatever it is, we have priority to receive that. The bottom line with that is, though, there just is a shortage in the United States with those components based on all the damage that was done during the other hurricanes. So it's been difficult to get that manufactured, get it in the pipeline, and then loaded on a ship and brought here.
One of the things that I'm really interested in is the standard to which you can rebuild things. Under the law, FEMA has essentially dictated things can be restored to what they were pre-disaster. Are you making improvements to the grid, or are you just allowed to restore them? Because they weren't in great shape pre-storm.
The mission assignment gives us direction to do temporary repairs to pre-storm conditions. So that's fairly specific. The fact is this, is that all the work that's going to be done is going to be done to standard and to code. We know a lot of the work before the storm wasn't a standard, wasn't a code. So, of course, going out there just by doing the work, it's going to be brought up to whatever the current code is for that work to be done. So in one sense, we're bringing it back to better than it was, but at the end of the day, it's going to be back to that pre-storm level of condition, but just better standard, to code, whatever that looks like.
How much of an impact did some of the lack of maintenance have on the lines around the island, and how much has that impacted your work?
I would say significantly in a lot of those rugged areas, the terrain, a lot of the maintenance for the access roads hasn't been done for years. I mean, just driving around, you see a lot of vegetation overgrown on some of the lines. That would be normal work that a utility company would be responsible for. So a lot of that wasn't done. That's caused significant problems at trying to restore the grid, and it's taken longer than it should.
One of the questions I have is, when we've been out on the island, when we've been in Atillo or even in Toa Baja, which is not that far from San Juan, there were people who haven't had power for 2 months, and they are frustrated and they are hot. What do you say to them about when they might have power back?
Nobody wants to get the power on quicker than me and my team and PREPA and everybody who's doing this mission. The fact is, the challenges are just extraordinary with doing this. I mean, not only the terrain causes this issue, the material, getting people in here, it just is one of the most challenging missions that we've really faced. I've been in many deployments, Afghanistan, Iraq. But these are Americans, and this is important to get the power back onto them.
You said it. They are Americans. Do you think they're being treated the way mainland Americans would be treated in a similar situation?
I absolutely think so. I mean, we have brought in more generators to Puerto Rico than any other disaster mission the Corps has done. So more than Sandy, more than Katrina, more than in Texas, more than in Florida, just doing that mission alone. And it continues to increase. Of course, when the lights are off, it can't be fast enough. You know, we know that. But I think that when you look at the numbers and you look at the response, certainly from the Corps of Engineers side of it, I think you can see that our response has far exceeded other responses.